Freedom. Keep your Bibles open to John chapter 8, please, if you will. Freedom. Freedom is one of the most prized possessions of all humanity. Freedom. Throughout history, people have fought and given their lives to be liberated from tyranny and oppression. And we know that the freedom that we here in America enjoy today has come at an awesome price. Many of our young men and young ladies have given themselves so others could be free. My son this morning is in Afghanistan where it's hot. I don't mean just hot with weather. I'm talking about hot with bullets. And lots of things happening. Some of our folks are there. Some of your kids, some of your grandkids. It's unbelievable what freedom cost us. Yet, the human heart will always yearn for liberty. I believe this with all of my heart. We can enjoy freedom today, but that freedom has come at an awesome price. And yet the human heart, that thing that beats in your breast, will always yearn for liberty. You know why? Because God created us to be free. He did. The tragedy is, even though we live in a free country and have liberty from sin through Christ, sometimes we choose to remain in our chains of bondage. We surrender control of our lives to someone else or something else, and we suffer a great deal of pain and discouragement because we have yielded ourselves to bondage. However, you and I do not have to live and continue in that bondage. Aren't you glad today that I can come to a church and hear that I don't have to stay in the bondage I find myself in? You don't have to. God has liberated us to live an abundant life in Christ. And we should, I'm telling you this morning, embrace that freedom He's given us. I have a number of points I want to give you. If you could write them down, it would be a help to you, I believe, down the road. The old devil would like to do nothing else than to keep you in bondage today. It might be secret bondage. No one else knows about the bondage you're in except you. It may be alcoholism. It may be drugs. It may be pornography. It may be money. It may be food. There are so many lists of bondages. It may be anger. It may be gossip. What is the bondage the old devil has on your life that you cannot fully enjoy the Christian life? Freedom. Number one, I want you to write this one down. You cannot have freedom until you admit the truth. I don't think there's any way anybody can have freedom until they admit the truth. In fact, in John chapter 8, verse 31 through 36 that we read, and Brother Frank read them so very well just a moment ago, those verses are talking about Jesus speaking to the Pharisees about their bondage to sin. However, the Pharisees refused to recognize that they had a problem. They said in verse number 33, they answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" See, these people were saying, we've never been in bondage. We've never been enslaved to anybody. Of course, that statement was completely untrue. Come on, amen. You who know the Bible know that Abraham's descendants had been held in captivity by the Egyptians, by the Assyrians, by the Babylonians, and a host of others, and also they were in bondage right now to the Roman government. They were in bondage. But this shows us something, does it not? This shows us that most people don't want to admit the truth of their bondage. Just like these Pharisees, preacher, you can preach this message all you want, but I'm not in bondage. I wonder how many of us here today are in bondage. We have all kinds of programs, social programs today, because so many people are in so much bondage. We have so many who are heartbroken, their lives disasters, because they're in bondage to all sorts of things that hold them in bondage. And yet, when people preach like this or teach like this, they say, oh, I'm not in bondage. They're just like these folks. They can't admit it. Just as the Pharisees didn't want to acknowledge that they had been enslaved by other nations, most people are too ashamed, perhaps, or too fearful to confess that they're in bondage to sin. Unfortunately, ladies and gentlemen, they'll never know all that they're missing. Out on, they'll never know what they're missing out on until they finally say, yes, I'm in bondage. Where are you today? Number two, to be free, you must understand the nature of enslavement. Number two, to be free, you must understand the nature of enslavement. Jesus said, look at John chapter 8, verse number 34, please. Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Because enslavement, the enslavement sin imposes is so subtle, and I understand it is so subtle, and it is so deceptive, some people don't realize they're even in bondage. Maybe you're like that today. They live in a free country. They're able to move about, go places where they want to go, do what they want to do, and they think they don't have a problem. However, we're not merely physical beings. We're also emotional and spiritual beings. We can't truly enjoy liberty until we're free on the inside. You can't fully enjoy life until you are free on the inside. If you look at John chapter 8, verse number 36, here's what Jesus said. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. If the Son makes you free, then you'll be set free. Only Christ can liberate us from the things that enslave us. Only Jesus Christ can liberate us from the things that enslave us in our soul and in our spirit. Roman numeral 3. To be free, you must understand that the many forms of enslavement. What is it that keeps you from having true liberty? Think with me, please. The truth is, there are about as many forms of enslavement as there are people. You can be in bondage to addictions. You can be in bondage to relationships, unforgiveness, fame, work, destructive ideas, or countless other things. You can just keep naming them. However, you can identify what is imprisoning you by discerning what is dominating your life. Whatever is dominating your life has got you imprisoned. Whenever something influences or controls how you live other than the Lord Jesus, then that something masters your life. It becomes your master. It impedes you from becoming all you were created to be. You can't live in sin, ladies and gentlemen, without it affecting you completely. You may hear you can live in sin and do what you want. I'm telling you this morning, as a man of God from this Bible, you cannot live in sin. You cannot live in sin without it affecting you completely. If you live in sin, it will affect you. Jesus came to give us freedom. Liberate us. Liberated to live. If I'm free, then we ought to live like it. Come on, amen. Number four, to be free, you must understand the process of enslavement. I think these things would be good for you to look at a little later, so write them down if you can. If you can't, they have the outline in the back, but you need to get this. Because so many of people in our day are so in bondage. To be free, you must understand the process of enslavement. Bondage always begins with a desire for something that appears to be innocent and harmless. Bondage always begins that way. Bondage always begins with a desire for something that appears to be so innocent and appears to be so harmless. You begin to participate in an activity. Maybe this is what happened to you. Or a behavior that seems to fill your need. However, all the while, your conscience is sending you warnings. Hasn't that happened to you? It happened to me as a young man. I went to do some things, and I knew my conscience was talking to me, and I knew the Holy Spirit was talking to me, and I either was going to listen to that, or I was going to dull my senses to that conscience. I'm telling you right now, and you know this to be true as well as me, to be free, you must understand the process of enslavement. You've got to. Your conscience sends you warnings. You know what you're doing is not right. But you believe somehow the enemy's lie that it isn't really going to hurt you. It's like the very first time you ever, if you do smoke or did smoke, the very first time you ever picked up a cigarette, you said, I probably shouldn't do this. But your friend said, it's okay, we all do it. Simple little thing like a cigarette. Now some of you who do smoke say, I don't even enjoy it anymore. But I can't lay it down. Some of you, the first drink you had, listen, the first drink you had tasted terrible. Most people I know never said, boy, was that good. They said, phew, phew, ooh. But they kept going until they got hooked. Same thing with pornography. Oh, I know I should look at that on my computer screen. But I'm just, here's the word fellows use, I'm just investigating. Men use that more than women. I'm just seeing what's out there. And you say to yourself, I know it's wrong. You cuss and swear and take God's name in vain the first time. You say, oh, I shouldn't have done that. But I was so mad. And you give yourself an out. You follow me? And all of a sudden, it's okay. Now, here's what happens. I know this has happened because it happened to me. Although you know that sin has destroyed people's lives, and the sin that you're partaking in and participating in, you know it has destroyed people's lives, their families, their homes, their marriages, their relationships, you know it. Before you believe, you think I can handle it. Because you say, I'm the exception rather than the rule. But I can handle it. I know when to shut it off. I know when to say no. And here's what happens then. I'm the exception, you say. And after a while, what happens is the alarms in your conscience that has been sounding so loud grow weaker and weaker and more quiet. And after a while, you don't even hear the alarms anymore. And then what you think, I know I've been here, then what you think is, I don't hear anything saying it's bad. And now you become comfortable with it. And then the enslavement starts. Am I telling the truth? It happens the same way to everybody. The enslavement's going to come. You must. To be free, you must understand the process of enslavement. The devil doesn't come out and say, ah, I'm going to get you. The devil never does that. Slowly. I'm going to convince you it's okay. You can just participate. You're stronger than everybody else. You'll make it when everybody else fails. You won't fall. And there's young people here who need to hear this message. There's moms and dads here who need to hear this message. Listen, there's folks playing around with stuff we shouldn't be playing around with, doing things we shouldn't be doing. And it's called enslavement and bondage. And we're not even happy with ourselves. You become comfortable with the enslavement, with the process of destruction that begins within you. But Christ came, listen everybody, Christ came to offer you a victorious, abundant life. That's what Jesus came for. But you've chosen to live in slavery to something worthless. In a little while, I'm going to charge Robbie, like I always do in every baby dedication. And I'll probably weep when I say it, because it affects me every time I say it to the daddy. I've just had prayer for that little guy, and Bentley. I'm going to hand him back, and I'm going to present a red flower, a red rose to Robbie in just a minute. I'm going to say to Robbie, Robbie, don't you let anything come in your home that will damage the soul of little Bentley. The coming of a child, you'll hear me say it in just a little while, the coming of a child in every home brings joy and happiness and makes the home seem like a home. It was just a home with a man and wife, but when the little baby comes, it seems like more like a home with a family now. But don't let anything come into that life of that little one, Robbie, that will enslave that little one. The old devil is after us, ladies and gentlemen. Don't kid yourself. He is after us. He's trying to enslave us in all sorts of situations. Number five, please, to be free, you must recognize the reality of your condition. Do you want to be free? I do know people who don't care about that. I'll be honest, it makes me hurt, makes me sad. But I know people who just don't want to be free. They brag about going to hell, being with their friends. That makes me sad. That doesn't make me happy at all. But to be free, you must recognize the reality of your condition. Do you want to be free from your spiritual enslavement? Although you may hate the issue that's keeping you enslaved, you may dread confessing it and its power in your life even more, and so you won't confess it. Yet, understand, any denials you make are only blocking your road to escape. You must acknowledge this morning whatever is dominating your life and commit yourself to obeying God to fully receive His love, His help, and His forgiveness. Number six, to be free, you must admit that you have a spiritual problem. Nobody will ever be free until they admit, I have a problem. Contrary to what most people think, God's not going to force you to admit. God's not going to do that. Well, if God wants me to change, he'll force me to change. God's not like that. God wants you to come on your own. To be free, you must admit you have a spiritual problem. You must clearly identify the sin that is controlling your life. Name whatever it is that's ruining your life. If you don't, you leave the door open to that bondage, and you'll always be in danger of stepping back through that door to that bondage again. I've seen that for 40-some years that I've been preaching. And I have been preaching for like 46 years. And I have seen it where people will not admit it, will not come. They'll come and pray a little prayer and cry a few little tears and get up and not name it. And they leave the door open. It comes right back in again. And if you read the scriptures, that demon comes back seven times worse than at first. They become so terribly bent, and their life is completely messed up. This Christian life is a wonderful way to live, but it's not the easiest way to live. But it is a wonderful way, and I'd like to convince somebody this morning that I could come to God and relieve myself of the burden and the bondage that I have in my life. Satan will encourage you to back off from your sin, but not completely reject it. The devil's so smart. In a service like this, I'll be preaching a message like this, and the devil will convince some people to back off their sin a little bit. Now, they won't come and they won't pray, but they'll just back off it for a little bit. And they'll say, hey, I had a good time at church. That was wonderful. Preacher did a powerful job of preaching, and I'm done with that situation. But they never came to God with it. And the devil will let you back away for a little bit. He may even allow you to come to an altar and pray about it just a little bit. And he'll back away until you get outside, down the road, tomorrow, the next day, the next week. He'll hit you with it again. And because you never gave it fully to God, he'll come right back in. Amen. And you'll be worse than you were before. To be free, you must admit you have a spiritual problem. Clearly identify the issue, activity, or attitude. Number seven, be sure to be free. You must make the choice to be free. To be free, you must make the choice. Being liberated from your sin just isn't a matter of wanting to be. Rather, you must make a choice to turn from your destructive ways and obey God. In fact, confession means that you're in agreement with God that you've done wrong. Therefore, choose by the grace of God not to participate in that behavior anymore. Now, there's a verse. Steve, I don't know if I had it on the notes or not, but Psalm 22, verse 5. It is there. They cried unto thee and were delivered. Do you see this? See that verse? It's right there on the screen. They cried unto thee and were delivered. Listen, if you're here and you're in bondage or whatever, and you're so frustrated, I wish I could conquer this thing. I wish I could get over it. You can. You can. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. You can be delivered. Choose by the grace of God not to participate in that behavior anymore. Deliberately take steps to embrace God's freedom so that you won't fall back into bondage again. Number 8, to be free, you must believe that God can liberate you. You must believe that God can liberate you. Do you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Do you trust that He has redeemed you from your sin and reconciled you to God? Would you go in your Bible to Luke chapter 4? Look at Luke chapter 4. See if you can get on the screen. It's going to be verse 14 through verse 19. There's a few verses I want to read other than what I wrote down. Do you trust that He has redeemed you from your sin? Do you trust Him that He's reconciled you to God? Then have complete faith that He will liberate you through the work of the Holy Spirit with sincerity, hope. Cry out to God, ladies and gentlemen, from the depths of your bondage, and be confident that He'll help you. I want to show you why. I know this to be true. In Luke chapter 4, we'll start at verse number 14. Look at Luke 4, 14. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. There went out a fame of Him through all the region round about. And He taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And He came to Nazareth, where He had been brought up. And as His custom was, He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto Him the book of the prophet Isaiah. That's Isaiah. And when He had opened the book, He found the place where it was written. And the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Do you see what He came to do? Verse 18, there is the verse. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. What does Jesus want to do? He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recover the sight to the blind, to set at liberty those that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. You know what that's telling me? Jesus Christ wants to liberate you from the bondage. What do you have to do? Now go with me to two other verses found in Psalm. Psalm 27, verse number 7. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. There it is. You're in bondage to something today? Cry to God with your voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. He says to cry unto Him. Look at verse number 30. Psalm 30, verse number 2. O Lord, my God, I cried unto Thee, and Thou hast what? Healed me, everybody. And Thou hast what? Healed me. I cried, O Lord, unto Thee, and Thou hast healed me. Listen, there's not a single person who has to be in bondage in this place. You have sons and daughters, grandchildren in bondage. They don't have to be in bondage. They can be set free. That's why we have church. That's why we preach the gospel. People can be happy. They can be successful. They can live good lives. They can rear children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. People can and do go to heaven. Ralph was a testimony of that. Wow, what a joy. My last point is this. To be free, you can ask for godly help. To be free, you can ask for godly help. Sometimes And I want a testimony here from some of you. Sometimes God will free you from your bondage immediately. How many in this room? I'm going to ask it the other way, and sometimes it takes a little longer. But how many of you had a bondage and God helped you immediately upon your asking? Can I see your hand? Hold it up there, please. Now, I want you to witness the hands that are raised. Just hold them up there. Don't put them down. I want you to look around. There's some people who had immediate help with a bondage in their life. Thank you. I'm not asking what that bondage was. I don't have any idea. But there were a number of hands that were raised. Now, how many have had relief from a bondage? God gave you relief. God gave you freedom. God gave you healing. But it took a while. Can I see your hand? But the freedom did come. See those hands? Look at those. Thank you. Now, I'm going to tell you one more time before I'm finished. To be free, you can ask for help. Sometimes God will free you from your bondage immediately, like some of these folks. And sometimes it will take a little longer. There's nothing wrong with it being taken a little longer. You may want some guidance and some accountability as God finishes the process of liberating your life. And that's fine. But just make sure that the counselors you go to are Christ-centered counselors and trustworthy. I'm trying to help everybody in this church this morning, those listening by radio. Listen, the devil wants nothing better than to keep us in bondage, keep us in enslavements, keep us disappointed with our lives, keep us miserable. But God, what did it say in John chapter 8? God wants to give us freedom. He wants you to be free indeed. I want you to walk in liberty. Why do we keep living with our bondages? Let's give those to God. Now, I'm going to close. What is it this morning that dominates and controls your life? Is it something other than God's love? When you're enslaved, here's what happens. When you're enslaved, you become bitter. You become trapped. And you become unforgiving. You cannot truly love another person or receive their love because you're enslaved. You're on the path to heartbreak and destruction. But you don't have to stay there. Many folks in this building this morning listening to me preach have already been through the process of being in heartbreak. Family's a mess. My life's a mess. I don't feel right about life. I wish things were different for me. Listen, Jesus wants to set you free. That's the secret this morning. Are you listening to me? He is the great liberator. He is the great redeemer of your soul. And he can help you like no one else. He wants to give you freedom. He wants to give you joy. He wants to give you an abundant life. He offers you peace with God. And he offers you peace with yourself, which is, I think, the emancipation that every person needs in the depth of their soul. Peace with God and peace with myself. Preacher, if I could just have peace with God and peace with me, God wants to give you that. He loves you. Musicians are coming. So don't remain enslaved this morning. You've just heard a message. I've given you a number of scriptures, given you a number of points. You don't need to leave this place enslaved. You can come today. You can be liberated to live, and you can be freed to love by giving fully to Jesus Christ your life as your only master. He is my master. Give him your life. We have an RU program called Reformers Unanimous, and we deal every Friday night with people with addictions. And would you please understand, it's not just addiction to drugs and alcohol and pornography. It's addictions to bitterness, to anger, to hatefulness. It's addictions to all sorts of things. But ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ has come to set us free. He wants you to live a life more abundantly. Go back to John chapter 8, please, as we finish. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "You are a believer. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Christians, even sometimes some of us get to a place where we have allowed things to interrupt the relationship with Jesus Christ. And we're not as free as we should be. Maybe we need to come today at this altar and do some business with God. If you're here and you've never been saved, of course we'd like to talk with you. Tell you how you can trust the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior. After this altar service, we're not done. We're going to have the baby dedication. You need to see that. It's a blessed thing. But don't you let the devil steal your thoughts right now. It's time to make a decision. There's some things in my life, preacher, that I know are not right. Maybe nobody else knows that but you, God, and the devil. But you need to get that cleared up this morning. Let's stand together, shall we?
On behalf of Pastor James Lewis and the entire Harvest Baptist Temple, we'd like to say thank you for downloading this message. And it's our prayer it's been a blessing and an encouragement to you. Would you do us just a small favor, please? Take a minute and send us an email just to let us know where in the world you're listening to this message. For example, if you live in China, just simply say, "I'm from China," and give us the title of the message you downloaded. If you'd like to give us more detail, that's fine too. We would just like to know how many people in different parts of the world we're touching through this ministry. The email address is harvest@harvestbaptisttemple.com. We won't put you on any kind of a mailing list, and we certainly won't give your email address to anybody else. Thank you for taking a minute to help us out, and thank you for downloading this message. For more information about the Harvest Baptist Temple, look us up online at considerharvest.com. Considerharvest.com. God bless you.